For WKAR News, I'm Kevin Lavery. In the 1960s, many American cities set out on a mission to clear out blight and lure in new businesses. Civic planners hailed the urban renewal movement as a sign of progress. But others, like African-American writer and activist James Baldwin, saw a darker motivation.
Most northern cities now are engaged in something called urban renewal, which means moving the Negroes out. It means Negro removal. That is what it means.
Between 1963 and 1970, more than 800 homes and businesses in the heart of Lansing's African-American neighborhood were torn down to build Interstate 496. Virtually none of it remains today. Now a new project is shining a light on that moment in Lansing history. On a blustery February day, Adolph Burton shakes off the cold and climbs into the waiting warmth of a pickup truck. Soon we're rolling down St. Joseph Street in Lansing for a trip through time.
My house is right here on the left, which would be in between Logan Street and Birch Street. And Birch Street is now southbound MLK.
Burton is 67, a Lansing native and a lifelong resident. He knows every block of the west side and downtown neighborhoods that hug the north side of I-496. But it's a far different city than the Lansing of his youth.
Now, as you see on the left, this vacant lot, that's where the first black cleaners, the first black grocery store, was all right there in that corner.
On a grassy patch at Kalamazoo and Butler stood Don and Bill's Grocery. So did Russell's Cleaners. Both are long gone. Here in the shadow of Lansing's towering triple smokestacks lie the traces of a once vibrant African-American neighborhood. I-496 changed the face of Lansing for good and not so good. Beginning in 1963, hundreds of people lost homes, schools, and churches. The dislocation sparked redlining and white flight in some places and accelerated integration in others. Now the city and local historians are using a National Park Service grant to tell the story of that era in a project called Paving the Way. The highway roars near the corner of Logan, now Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and Main, known today as Malcolm X Street. A nondescript blue building sits beneath a giant billboard. Adolph Burton has never been to the office of Platinum Paint Coatings, but the building itself is a long-lost friend.
A little different now, huh?
Slightly. For a while, since the 60s.
You haven't been in this building since the 60s?
Right. No, not at all. Man.
Back in the day, this building was Johnny's Records, the cultural nerve center of Black Lansing. John Wesley Johnson kept the place well-stocked with gospel, jazz, and blues. Here you might find such gems as Big Nick, John Coltrane's 1962 homage to sax man and Lansing's son, George Nicholas. Johnny's sold more than just records. You could buy dress shirts and shoes, jewelry, and even candy. Johnny's closed, but the building was spared. Ironically, the place that held the neighborhood together became the State Highway Commission headquarters, where the demolition was directed. Chris Shuck owns the building today. He's only now learning what a time capsule it is.
Growing up in this area, and specifically in this neighborhood on the west side, I had no idea that the building had this kind of history.
Shuck is white and in his early 40s. He loves the diversity of the west side, a place that welcomed displaced residents and fought against racism and redlining. He's too young to remember the glory days of old Lansing, the home of Big Nick and Malcolm X, the Lansing Adolph Burton laments.
When you destroy a way of life and take away the churches, the retail stores, the doctor's offices, the doctor who delivered me, his office was literally three blocks from here. Three blocks from here was where I purchased groceries. The dentist's office that I went to is one block from here. So tearing those all up, people express that wasn't very nice.
But Lansing is a factory town, and factory towns don't roll over easy. The environment may have changed, but not the ethic. Adolph Burton says that's what's kept his town intact.
Lansing always seemed to grab itself up from its bootstraps and just keep on pushing, man. A lot of it, I think, had to do with the people who lived here. A lot of black folks came from the South, and they didn't want to do anything to mess up their way of life because they took pride in it.
Organizers hope the Paving the Way project will illuminate Lansing's struggles and successes during the height of the civil rights era. In the coming months, they'll collect oral histories and compile artifacts to be put on display at the Library of Michigan. The project is expected to continue into early 2020. In Lansing, I'm Kevin Lavery.